The Feast of Christmas comes rather late in the history of the church's worship. It was in the late 3rd or early 4th century that Christmas, the feast of the birth of Jesus, was first celebrated. It was initially celebrated on the 6th of January. The birth of Jesus, the coming of the Magi, the baptism of Jesus, and the marriage feast at Cana, recording the first miracle of Jesus, all four of those events were celebrated on that one day. That day was called the Epiphany, the manifestation of God in Jesus Christ. Bit by bit, those celebrations began to be disconnected from each other and given their own place. But the celebrations of the season really have one focus, and that is to affirm that this person, Jesus of Nazareth, is fully human and fully divine. For the first four centuries in the life of the church, there was great argumentation and debate about the identity of Jesus. In fact, there were wars that were fought. Wars that had as their reason the arguments that people had about who is this Jesus of Nazareth. Some said, Jesus of Nazareth is divine, is the Son of God, and only appears as a human being, only is cloaked with human characteristics, but truly is not a human being, is totally divine. And there were others who said, this Jesus of Nazareth is not divine, this Jesus of Nazareth is a great prophet, but of all the prophets, this Jesus is the one who has the favor, the blessing of God in a most unique way, and that in the waters of baptism, as he was baptized by John, he received his identity as the Messiah. These people were called the adoptionists. And to hold one position or the other was to tear this person apart. For Jesus of Nazareth is one person. He possesses a divine nature and he possesses a human nature. He is fully human and he is fully divine. The scriptures refer to this truth as he is the Son of God and the Son of David. And all of the feasts, all of the celebrations of the Christmas season seek simply to affirm that truth. And so in today's feast, it is Jesus, it's the words of Jesus as he speaks to Mary, his mother, by which he says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's work? That in those words, the scriptures affirm that Jesus identifies himself with God as his Father, and thus Jesus affirms that he is Son of God. In the other parts of the story, we see Jesus placed squarely in the midst of the human condition, squarely in the midst of what it is to be a human person. Jesus is born into a family, not a family as you and I would normally think of a family. The village of Nazareth was small. It probably had somewhere between 150 and 200 inhabitants. And most of those people were related to each other, either through blood or through marriage. The village was, in effect, a tribe, a family tribe. And everyone within that village had a responsibility and a mutual connection with each other. And it's in this condition that Jesus is born. Children belong to the whole village, to the whole extended family. And adults played various roles in children's lives. Initially, as infants and as small children, it was the women's role to rear those children, to nurture them, to feed them, to teach them. When boys reached the age of 11 or 12, they were taken from the care of women and they were placed in the care of men. And at that point, the men of the community, the men of the family, would teach this young boy what it meant to be a leader in that community, what it meant to be a defender of that community, what it meant to provide economically for the life of that community. Everybody had their place, and everyone was expected to do what was expected of them. That's the family. That's the family into which Jesus is born. That's the family in which he was nurtured. That's the family in which he grew. All those people had something to do with him, and he had something to do with all of them. That's the community and the family in which he spent the vast majority of his life. Born and as a child, as an adolescent, as a young person, and as a mature adult. And only at the very end of his life, when the public life begins, does he leave that family. Does he leave Nazareth? Now, every culture has, in a sense, created a family system that works for that culture. From the very beginning, it's been understood that the connections that exist between adults and children are such that there needs to be some structure, and that structure has been called family. Sometimes it's a very wide structure, sometimes it's a fairly narrow structure. And the reason that's needed is for the sake of legal standing, for the sake of economics, and for the sake of societal harmony, societal peace. What the feast says to us is that the incarnation of God takes place not in some rarefied atmosphere, but takes place in the concrete. That the mystery we celebrate is that God truly does sink down into what it is to be a human being. He sinks down into those relationships. And those relationships are as limiting, and those relationships are as advancing as they are for any human being. That God so loved the world that he gave his Son, and his Son so loved us that he bought fully what it is to be a human being. The scripture stories about that infancy of Jesus and the young life of Jesus also are meant to teach us that in the incarnation, Jesus identifies with what is most basic in human life, as well as what is most fearful in human life. Tomorrow we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents, in which Jesus is caught up in the unspeakable crime of infanticide. From the very beginning of time, children have been murdered. In every culture, children are murdered. Every single day of the year, children are murdered. They're murdered for economic reasons. They're murdered for political reasons. They're murdered for population reasons. They're murdered for social reasons. But the murder of children has been part of the story of the human family. And not just in developing countries. The murder of children 5 years of age, between 1 and 5, the United States stands number 1 in the nations of the world. So the story of the Holy Innocents is that world history thread of the fragility of children is now experienced by Jesus. Jesus is caught up in the political sweep that allows for infanticide. You see, when you kill children of your enemy, what you do is you demoralize them. It's a very effective tool to demoralize your enemy, to destroy their children. As a result of that, Jesus enters into another experience that is as old as the planet, and that is the experience of being an alien. That is the experience of exile. That is the experience of having to move from one place to another. That is the experience of losing one's culture, losing one's language, losing everything that one would hope would help give identity. And Jesus is caught up in that. So the stories that are present in the scriptures are meant to assure us that the incarnation is real. It is not a fanciful thing. That in God's love for us, God chose to be deeply placed within the glory and the shame of human life, within the strength and the weakness of human life, within the good and the evil of human life. That there was nothing about the human condition that Jesus avoids. For God's love is such that all of the human condition is embraced, and all is redeemed, and all is brought into union with God.
To get through tighter security at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport, there was a larger police presence and bomb sniffing dogs. And in the air, there were bigger changes for people coming in from overseas. When we boarded in Jamaica, they did go through everybody's luggage.